Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast, episode 96. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Mel.
Happy New Year, Al.
Happy New Year, Mel.
Well, as you've already probably worked out, to my left... Oh, I'm Mel, I should probably say first. Start as we mean to go on. To my left is the deputy editor of Metal Hammer, the Queen of Gloss herself, Miss Eleanor Goodman. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm really excited, actually, and you know why.
Is it because of our special guest?
Well, that's one reason, yeah.
Thanks.
Why are you excited?
Because I've just been watching Matt Heafy do a metal cover on Twitch of Toss a Coin to Your Witcher, and I'm really obsessed with The Witcher, so I'm just really excited about that.
Wow. I'm excited because as well as Al being here with us today, we have a very special guest to kick off the year. He is All Elite Wrestling star, death metal legend, and the longest reigning Progress Wrestling world champion of all time, Mr. Jimmy Havoc. How are you, sir?
Hello. Happy New Year. I'm very good, thank you.
Happy New Year to you too.
One of you is happy to see me.
I'm always happy to see you, Jimmy. As long as you don't put me in a wrestling hold thing.
I'll try not to. I won't chop you again.
Yeah, that was painful.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That did happen, yeah.
I don't remember that.
No chop. Well, that's probably why you did it so hard.
Was I drunk?
I think maybe the first time Jimmy had met Al. This is a couple of years ago now.
It wasn't the first time. It was a few times.
Yeah, you got to be comfortable to start chopping people.
Yeah, exactly. People you got chopped as well.
I got chopped so hard I had bruising all over my chest the next day. That was on my birthday, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so
happy
there you go.
Happy birthday.
A couple of years back, we were hanging out, and as you do when you're friends with a wrestler, you do that obnoxious thing where you're drunk and you go, hey, show me what a chop's like, just do it. And I won't be asking him to do that again. On I or L.
You sure?
Definitely not. No chopping allowed. Yeah. It is 2020. I can't believe I'm saying that. Oh my word. There's a lot of big albums turning 20 this year, guys.
I know. I'm not quite ready for it yet.
I'm not either. Hybrid Theory turns 20 this year. Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water. White Pony. Hollywood.
Yeah.
Brave New World by Iron Maiden.
That's a good year for music, that.
It is crazy, crazy times.
I'm not quite ready, but I'm also quite excited about revisiting them. I'm not a massive nostalgia person, but any excuse to listen to my favourite records.
Absolutely. But yeah, you're right. We shouldn't dwell in nostalgia because it's a brand new year. There's loads of stuff to look forward to. Oh God. What kind of year is this going to be for metal, guys?
A good one.
Yeah?
I think it's going to be a good one. It's a weird one, isn't it? We spoke about this, I think, before. Like, last year we had some massive blockbuster releases. We had Rammstein. We had Tool. Slipknot. We had Tool. Yeah. Like, the big three.
Korn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that one.
Some really big releases. So it's difficult to know this year. There's a lot of bands doing stuff, but there's sort of tours and festivals that might be bigger events than album releases. We have to kind of wait and see.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, we've got Knotfest coming up. That's going to be good. The first UK Knotfest.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, there's no real order we have to do all this in, really. But I think Knotfest is definitely going to be an interesting, potential scene-changing
event. I'm going to definitely come back from the States for that.
Yeah. Of course, you live over in Orlando now. So, yeah, that's going to be a massive deal. I mean, let's just start there then. Fuck it. Let's do it. So, obviously, there's more and more festivals than ever. That's one of the big things that we have in the music scene today, as well as... Compared to 15 years ago, it was pretty much just Download and Reading that you'd see rock bands out on a large scale in the UK. Since then, Bloodstock has become a major outdoor festival. You've got things like Arctangent. You've got things like All Points East now dipping their toes into the metal scene. Reading are still booking metal and rock bands. And now, of course, we have Knotfest as well, which is an absolutely huge deal. So what kind of stuff would you like to see from Knotfest in terms of lineup or... things you'd like to see to maybe make it feel like a bit different from what's already out there, because I really think that's going to be something that makes it a very interesting summer.
I'm going to be really nerdy because I want them to bring like the museum thing, the Slipknot exhibition with all the stuff in it. I think that'd be really cool because I've not seen whatever memorabilia they have in that. I've obviously not seen it. You go to the old sort of Hard Rock Cafe and you see a guitar on the wall or something, but I haven't actually seen what they've got in the collection, and that'd be really cool to see that. But like the terms of the actual festival bill, I was looking at the Knotfest Japan one and that looks amazing. They've got
it does look good, doesn't it?
Baby Metal, Marilyn Manson, Trivium, Suicide Silence, Crossfaith, Korn. Like, yeah, I just want the kind of lineup that just makes you feel really, really excited because hopefully Slipknot are headlining it. they've not actually announced that. But hopefully,
that's a good point. Yeah, they technically don't know Slipknot are even playing it.
They always do.
It would be a bit of a swerve if that happened.
It'd be a bit upsetting because it's like
to them if they did that.
This is the first UK one because they have had Knotfest where Slipknot haven't headlined.
They have, yeah,
in other
yeah,
countries because it's like this is a brand. It's not like our vehicle for just being Slipknot, but. The first UK Knotfest, if Slipknot didn't play, that'd be really good.
Yeah, I think it'd be weird.
So pretty hopeful they
were. Who else would you book for it? Because Download has snapped up a lot of big bands already. I mean, that lineup, you know, it's come under a bit of criticism because of, you know, it felt like it wasn't really pushing anything new in terms of headliners. But if you look at the overall balance of the Download lineup now, it's looking colossal and there's still a lot of big...
Deftones on there, yeah.
Yeah, Deftones are on there. Korn are on there. Gojira, Killswitch Engage... obviously Kiss, Maiden and System of a Down are headlining. Disturbed are on there. Baby Metal are on there. I don't think Lamb of God are on there.
They're doing their own tour in April, but I don't think they're on the festival bill.
Yeah, I don't think they're on that bill yet.
Floating around, you know.
But we were looking at the lineup earlier today, actually, for Download, and it seems that there's at least two spots, or is it three? Hold on, let me just get it up here.
Do your maths, Merlin.
Yeah, my maths. Okay, counting.
My fingers.
You're going to stick your fingers out so we can count on them.
Give it one line, yeah.
Just the one
just
finger.
Keep feeling air, keep feeling space while I'm doing this. There it is.
Okay. Podcast on a visual medium. So.
Yeah, so if you look at the Download lineup, on the Sunday at the moment, you've got System of a Down, Korn, Volbeat and Disturbed, all with their band logos used. So that suggests to me like those are the big four slots. I don't know if that means that's the main stage or one of them might be headlining the second stage or how that works.
But I thought Korn might be on the second stage, wouldn't they?
They wouldn't have them. Nah, surely they'd have them under System of a Down.
I'm going to be really annoyed if there's a clash.
Whereas on the Saturday, you've only got Maiden right there at the top, and then you've got Gojira kind of in the middle of this big bit of space, just floating there. And then under Kiss on the Friday, you've got Deftones, a big old space, and then the Offspring with their logo on there. So that suggests to me there's still at least one massive band to be announced on the Friday and two on the Saturday.
Good maths, Merlin.
Thanks. So yeah, there's a lot of bands to announce there, and we have no idea what's going on with Slipknot. If you look at the Knotfest, I should say, if you look at the bands that are still potentially available, Ghost is one we've talked about. They haven't done a big festival appearance for a long, long time
when
over
was
here
last
now.
Was it Sonosphere? Or?
No, it was Download 2011 or something.
Oh wow,
it was a long time ago.
They've kind of just been building their career as Ghost, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. But to me, that space under Maiden is right for the taking. The what?
I'm sure Ghost did Sonosphere when I wrestled there.
Oh, maybe they did. Maybe they did.
Have you got your maths wrong, Merlin? Just after we told you to count properly.
What's my maths got to do with it? Leave my maths out of this.
Who do you want to see, Jimmy? What bands would you want to see with Slipknot?
Well, I'd want it like Korn. I'd want it like a proper old new metal.
Yeah.
Like whole day lineup, like Deftones, Korn. Yeah, everyone will hate it, but Biscuit, I think we're quite cool in that sort of.
I would not hate it.
I would not hate it.
Okay, I would not hate it, even a tiny bit.
Me either.
They were great at Heavy in Montreal last year, weren't they?
That was great, yeah. Jimmy and I went to Heavy Montreal in Montreal, obviously, last year. And yeah, Biscuit, that was one of the best Biscuit sets I've seen. That was a great laugh.
The whole festival was amazing.
I still want to know when we're going to get a stampede of the Disco Elephants. I was looking through some old magazines at the weekend and I think it was like an interview from about 5 years ago. It was like, yeah, we're working on Stampede of the Disco Elephants and they went to visit a zoo and went to the studio and all this kind of stuff. It's like, we've seen nothing. What happened?
I just double checked and you're right, Jimmy, that Ghost did play Sonosphere in 2014.
Yeah.
So that's still going to be 6 years since they played a major outdoor UK festival. I mean, I'd assume that they're going to be snapped up somewhere. That could be a hell of a booking on Knotfest. It could be a pretty much perfect slot under Maiden on that slot if it is them.
Code Orange haven't got anything over here this year, have they?
No, Code Orange have nothing planned. They're very much kind of, I guess, the... I've got them right near the top of this list of bands we should be excited about next year. And I think as far as the kind of the younger generation of bands in metal go, I kind of feel like Code Orange is where it's at. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
They kind of feel like the band that a lot of people's expectations are riding on. We're kind of bouncing around different things here, but that's fine.
We've been looking at their mysterious Twitter clips.
Yes. Code Orange, if you haven't been aware, near the end of last year, Code Orange started posting mysterious Twitter clips. and now they've got a website, www.whatisreallyunderneath.com, that has some mysterious stuff on it.
It's creepy.
It's creepy.
What is really underneath?
What's going on?
Don't know.
So yeah, Code Orange are finally back at it. It feels like it's about damn time. I think it's fair to say that we're kind of ready for it now, aren't we?
I like how
they've been gone for a long time, it's felt like.
I like how the teaser says, "Let's take a good look at you."
Spooky.
That's quite terrifying the way you look to me like that. Yeah.
Just
been a while since I've been that close to a lady.
So yeah, Code Orange. Steady on. Code Orange. Yeah, could be a big shout for a festival billing. We don't actually know what their official plans are yet, but given all this mysterious stuff that's going on,
mysterious.
It probably involves some new music, you would imagine.
Rage will do something over at some point next year.
Yes, Rage Against the Machine as well. Yeah, let's go through the bands. We jumped into festivals a bit, but let's go through it. This is coming off the rails, guys. All right, so let's reel it back and start talking about bands for a bit, and then maybe we can go back onto festivals. So we kind of talked about Code Orange a bit, so that feels like a really big deal for the metal scene this year. Can Code Orange produce an album that will take them to where they need to be in terms of really making that step up to be a legitimate contender for metal on a wider scale? Like, it's been a few years now. Forever was one of the most hyped modern metal albums, I mean, of the 21st century, really. Like, it was such a big deal to everybody, and rightly so, because it's brilliant. What do they need to do this year to kind of keep that momentum going and get where they need to be?
Make good music, which sounds stupid, but it's a real thing, because, like you said, they've had so much hype, and they do so much stuff online, like they do the teaser clips, and Jamie always talks a big game about like doing something brand new and doing something a bit like dangerous and challenging the norms, and their whole thing is like, you know, doing something out of the box and like having that passion of being a young band and stuff. So if you know, that gets people really excited, so then it has to be good music or you're just going to feel let down. Like, you can have as much hype as you want, but then there's the worry of like, you know,
trying to do something different for the sake of doing something different. But like, after the last one was like incredible, and I think that was different enough, and it did make them stand out from everything else that was going on at the moment. But
I do love their attitude. They also cancelled some tour dates in Europe last August.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
on this record. So I think the fact
Bloodstock very key amongst those.
I think the fact that you know that they've actually cancelled dates to make this record really good, and that you know it's going to be hyped as well. You just want it to live up to the hype. Yeah. Really, as simple as that.
That's always the problem. They're like. With too much hype or something, nothing ever lives up to it, does it?
But it might do.
Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like to
temper your expectations.
Yeah, exactly. I was fine, like, if I'm never expecting anything, I never get disappointed. So.
I like to get really, really, really hyped up and then hopefully just carry on being hyped.
I just assume every day is going to be shit, so when something good happens, it's always great.
Every day is Halloween.
And a happy new year to you too. Do you think that... how important is it going to be for Code Orange that they don't do what maybe a lot of bands do when they get to the stage that they're at and either play it safe or make an album that they think is going to appeal to a wider audience, fill bigger venues, all that kind of stuff? Do they need to think about that kind of stuff now? It's the kind of thing that can make some bands, like Parkway Drive have done very well off thinking that way, Ghost have done very well off thinking that way, but it can also be the undoing a lot of bands if you overthink that thing and don't really just go with your gut instinct.
From what they've said, I don't think they would go that way, because they're very much, we're doing this our way, this is what we're doing. But they are signed to Roadrunner, aren't they? They are signed to a label, and they have got people around them. So there's going to be people there that are working on all the marketing and advertising stuff, and they're going to want to get that right. So I'm sure it's going to be a sort of a bit of both sides.
It's fine, that balance between what they want to do and what they're told they've got to do, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, or even if not told what they're going to do, like... there's a reality of marketing a record.
Yeah, of course,
you know, there's no point in making an amazing record but then nobody hears it because it's not got a push. So I think there's probably just going to be a balance between it, but I can't see them doing something like that's going to get played on daytime radio. It might.
Well, yeah, you never know.
Having said that with the words coming out of my mouth, there are bands that do from our world that do get played on daytime radio. I guess it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to do something like Ariana Grande, are they?
I mean, that would be...
That would be amazing.
They're not going to do something that's like... mainstream.
I mean, how 2017?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a massive mainstream artist that Justin has gone Bieber. Like platinum in multiple countries or something.
Elton John.
Whatever.
Queen.
They're not going to be that artist who is big all over the world making millions and millions of dollars. Like, but I think they do have songs that sound that have commercial potential, you know, like Bleeding in the Blur from the last one. It's really catchy. I know it's like got the sort of underground thing going on and the whole, you know, it's a niche, dark, gritty kind of sound that you want to hear in a sweaty, dark gig, but you can sing to it too. So
yeah.
Do you think that a band like that has the potential to break through that kind of mainstream barrier we talked about before? Whereas, you know, just because a band is massive in our world, that doesn't necessarily mean they're on the radars of the world at large. You know, we were looking at old photos today and we saw a photo of like, we're looking at photos of old metal bands like Gatecrash and the MTV Awards and all that kind of crazy shit that used to happen that just doesn't quite feel like it happens in quite the same way. Do you think Code Orange have the potential to be that band that could not just, you know, get to big stages and play big metal gigs and play big slots of metal festivals, but actually smash down and make a real impact outside of their own little scene?
Don't know. I think it just depends on the record. What do you think, Jimmy?
The record and the marketing, I guess. It all depends like how it's pushed and if the right people hear it or not, I guess.
What tours they're going to go on.
Maybe if they actually go and win that Grammy next time, if they get nominated again.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe something like that, or who they're going to go out and tour with. Are they going to stick to touring with bands in our world? You know, it'd be great for them to do something like Knotfest, like we said, but could they go out and do something with like bigger, more, you know, other bigger bands? Are more people going to see them that way? You know, that bands aren't ever going to get big if they just stay in doing underground clubs.
Yeah, of course. So. Yeah.
I would love to see what would happen if they got put on a bill with someone like Bring Me the Horizon.
Yeah. Totally.
Where maybe now, I don't know, let's say generously 20% of Bring Me the Horizon's fan base is probably still metal and hardcore fans.
Did you listen to the
We've not even talked
out?
About it. Yeah,
I haven't listened to that yet. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's one thing that did happen over the Christmas period. Yeah. Bring Me did what I said I'd love for them to do and put out an electronic album, and I didn't listen to it yet. I thought, oh, that's a thing. I'll get round to that. No, I haven't. Oh, I've heard little bits of it. It sounds quite atmospheric and kind of soundtracky in a lot of places.
Yeah, it's just, I listened to it when I was drunk. I quite enjoyed it then, but I've not listened to it again yet. So
I felt a bit nonplussed.
They'll put that sticker on the album.
it's very different, and it's did they ever say they put it out? Because I just saw it come up on Spotify.
I don't know. It just seemed to drop.
Yeah,
I only saw it because other people were talking about it on Twitter. But that happened. But I'd love to see them, for instance, take someone like Code Orange out just to see if it's possible to bridge that gap still between, you know, a mainstream rock band, as Bring Me have largely become, and a still genuinely heavy, abrasive band like Code Orange. But it's exciting. Anyway, we'll see what they do. You mentioned Rage Against the Machine as well, didn't you?
I did.
Hoping for a new album from them this year?
Hope so. I'm going to go and try to Coachella and watch them there.
Oh, nice, cool. Nice. Yeah, that should be good. I'm really, really hoping this isn't just a System of a Down topping up the, you know, the bank balances doing the festival circuit.
I've never seen like that sort of band though, to be fair. Like,
you'd hope not. Yeah. I mean, Tom Morello and you know, the rest of the band clearly love doing this because they did Audioslave and then they've done Prophets of Rage. Tom Morello's done all this other stuff. Like, you know for a fact at least 3/4 of the band want this and want to make new music. But Zach is the spark that makes it all really work.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because like Prophets of Rage, you just felt like that was Rage Against the Machine, but without Zach.
Yeah.
Rage karaoke.
Yeah. And like the other guys are obviously super, super talented, and it was a super group in that respect. But it's a weird one.
I mean, like, it was a mega group. But
yeah, mega. You'd have thought he'd be motivated though, otherwise he wouldn't be coming back for other dates. Like,
that depends. What's he been? Yeah. You can't see me. I'm making the money sign with my hands.
I just think it's going to be weird with new music because obviously Prophets of Rage had a ton of new songs out that felt like they could be Rage songs, but without Zach. And it's like, are they going to write new music and will it be sort of a continuation of that? Will they even use songs they might have had with Prophets of Rage and put Zach's vocals on them? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, is there like the right political climate for him to want to do stuff again, I think?
Mm.
So
Yeah, you'd hope so. It's not like they haven't got stuff to talk about. Yeah, we'll have to see. But I mean, oh God, I'd love for Rage Against the Machine to come back with a truly brilliant new album. Yeah. It'll be fucking great.
I hope they do something in the UK.
I'm sure. I'd be surprised if they... if they literally just do... they're not Fest. I mean, fuck. I guess it depends.
When I first saw them was Red in 2000, and it was Slipknot and Rage on the same day. That was a good day.
Yeah, but those bands are both much bigger now than they were then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, the Daphne and Celeste thing at Reading. That's famous. That is infamous. Yeah, I kind of feel like Rage would be too big to play at someone else's shindig. I think if they come over here, it'll be their own thing. Yeah. I think Reading has still got two headliners.
Yeah, I think so.
They
haven't announced everything yet. Yeah.
Well, which brings me to another band we've got on this list that Jimmy is coincidentally repping today. He's wearing a My Chemical Romance long sleeve. Very nice. So I'm guessing you're very excited about them.
I'm incredibly excited, yeah. I tried to get tickets for the LA return show, but they sold out in like 2 seconds. And I was happy. I was going to pay about $500 up to a grand maybe to go and see it. But
wow.
Yeah.
You must serious. Love them.
I love them. Yeah, absolutely love them. Yeah, like I was gutted when they broke up. But, like I still listen to Black Parade and Three Cheers at least once a week probably. Wow. Sorry, I know you're looking at me with absolute disdain now. And I know a lot, but I love metal, I'm an emo kid as well.
Just never liked them. I went to see them when I was a long time ago, when I was 20, showing my age.
That's come with that.
And I went to it was like 5 minutes ago. And I'd got this free ticket to go and see them because I just started writing about music, and it was the first gig I'd ever walked out of because it was so bad.
Oh wow!
Oh my word!
And apparently, he was like really fucked up on that tour and just didn't play very well. But I saw them a few weeks later. I went to Warped Tour in the States and they played there and got no crowd. And they were in the signing tent and I went over to talk to them because I felt sad that no one was talking to me. Yeah. I got an autograph signed to me because I just felt bad that no one was giving them any attention. But I didn't really click with it or connect with it.
Yeah.
I think just they were obviously in a bit of a state back then as well. And they just weren't doing it. And then it just blew up like 6 months later or something. And it just never felt quite right for me. I think just like you said, you were in emo and even they like metal.
I'm always going to be emo kid.
I like some emo, but I think to me, like it's not metal enough for me. So I can't, it's really hard for me to get on the hype train, but excited. No, what I was going to say is I'm really excited other people are excited because people being excited about music is good.
Yeah.
So I was going to say a nice thing.
I mean, can My Chemical Romance, because they represent such a kind of specific moment in time, really, don't they? I know they kind of moved on a bit with the Danger Days period and they were they were doing some different stuff there. But, you know, when you think of that band and the era they came from, it feels like such a moment in time, such a kind of time capsule of a certain scene.
Yeah.
Do you think that My Chem can come back and still be genuinely relevant, or is this just going to be one big nostalgia trip for emos?
I think it might just be a big nostalgia trip. I mean, I think they're still, when you saw like how excited people were to come back, like there are still a lot of people that are incredibly relevant to. Mm. And I hope they make new stuff. I really do. I think they will be. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I suppose.
I want to know what you love about them. Help me understand.
But being that bullied kid at school who wore, the nail varnish and the eyeliner, and obviously, I love like Manson and stuff, but like there's just something about Mike Hem that I don't know. The lyrics, especially some of the songs like How I Disappear and Famous Last Words and stuff, that really, and Thank You for the Venom, like really just, and I'm Not Okay as well, obviously, like really like spoke to me as that little bullied emo kid, I suppose. Like, I thought the songs were really catchy as well.
Fair.
Yeah. I apologise about this, but I still like Fall Out Boy. And
I don't want to apologise.
I apologise for Fall Out Boy. They're fucking sweet.
Well, I remember watching... I actually really like Fall Out Boy.
We're not judgmental here. We're all friends.
I remember having a really emotional moment watching Big Hero 6 and the Fall Out Boy was on the soundtrack and I did a whole cry.
That's such a good film.
Really?
I was feeling really emotional. Are you satisfied with your care?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. No, don't start.
I watched
Coco.
Was it Immortal on that?
Yeah. I watched Coke on the plane back over.
Oh, mate, that is brutal. Yeah. I watched that on a flight as well a couple of years ago.
I shouldn't watch Disney films on flights.
No, mate. Oh, my word.
No, I don't have anything against emo. It was specifically My Chemical Romance that I never clicked with. I think I felt, to me, it just felt really done.
Yeah.
It felt, first of all, it felt like they were a mess. And then when they got more polished, it felt like they were doing something that had already been done. And I just didn't really respond to it. But
that's fair enough, yeah.
I think...
I do understand why people hate them.
But... I think like anything that people connect with to do with music is great. And, you know, there are other bands that I feel about the way you feel about them. So I'm never going to take that away.
Other emo bands are available.
That's your
favourite phrase. it's an interesting one. Yeah, I'm more in the L camp on this. I don't hate My Chemical Romance. I just never really connected into them.
I'm tempted to fly to Japan next year and see them.
Well, yeah, that'd be mad, wouldn't it?
Because I was in Osaka
a few weeks ago. That's Download Japan, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they might be doing their own gig as well. But when I was in Osaka a few weeks ago, Rock Bar in Osaka is one of the coolest bars I've ever been to. I'd highly recommend that for any metalheads who go to Osaka or Japan. And there's a Rock Your Mother is another bar in Tokyo as well. That's if you buy a drink, you can put two songs on the jukebox. So I'd highly recommend anyone in Tokyo.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's real good, yeah.
Kanpai.
Kanpai. So I'd recommend those two in Japan. But
awesome. That's my camp kind of done, I guess. We'll see if they can still stay relevant. And yeah, the reason they came to mind is because we briefly mentioned Reading as well, and I do wonder if they could be a spot for Reading, because they just kind of fit the bill. And I have to say, it's a festival that is mostly not really ignored, but I think mostly kind of lost its actual connection with rock fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the last few years, I think Reading and Leeds getting My Chemical Romance will be a massive coup, so it'll be interesting to see.
The first few years I went to Reading, it was like the Sunday was always like the metal day, and they seemed to.
Yeah, same. I mean, the second year I went to Reading in 2005, they had Pixies, Iron Maiden, Marilyn Manson, and Foo Fighters all playing. It was insane. Like, and I think, did Bullet play that year? It was just way more
rock and metal across the board. It's just changed so much now.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
In the early 2000s, there'd always be something there that was like rock/metal, and it's just different times.
I mean, I think it'll be good for the scene in general. Again, we're talking about rock and metal making that mainstream impact outside of its own, you know, scene itself. It would be great if a band like My Chemical Romance could get booked for a festival like Reading, where you will get loads of kind of probably not even fans of the band that will be there for the weekend that will still probably sit and watch them because they're such a well-known band. And then you could stack that bill up with more modern names that would make people interested and invested in and kind of bring it all to life a bit. I'd really love to see that happen. Who else got stuff going on this year? We've got Lamb of God written down here, of course, the tour with Creator and Power Trip. That's going to be fucking sick. Nuts in April. So hopefully a new album from them this year. Obviously, new drummer in the fold. So hopefully that will maybe give them a bit more energy that often does happen when you get a bit of a lineup reshuffle in a veteran band. And Power Trip are on that bill as well. I'm gagging for a new Power Trip album. It's been 3 years or maybe two. I think it might have been 3 years since the first one. Oh, not the first one, sorry, the last one, which was one of my favourite metal albums of the last few years. I'd love to hear more from them this year.
But more Lamb of God, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah, more Lamb of God, definitely a priority.
I'm very happy about that.
But yeah, with that tour happening, I'd like to. It'll be good if Power Trip can get some new music out ahead of that tour. I know they released a cover track. There was an Outburst cover compilation that they put out over Christmas. Then that's got a cover track they've done on it. But I want new Power Trip music, please. Who else could we talk about? Deftones, Al, excited about that? That's pretty much definitely happening this year, right?
What was you ask?
Just good, innit?
Yeah. I wasn't listening, I was just, I don't know.
Screaming.
Yeah.
Not internally.
Yeah. I thought it was internal, but actually it was external.
I think we can safely say that there'll be a Deftones album this year. It's time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's time. And I love gore as well. Like, I don't know. It's really hard to tell what the reception to Gore was. It felt like it was a bit lukewarm, and I think it came out quite near the end of the year.
Well, our reviewer, Stephen Hill, absolutely adored it.
I adored it too. I just think it was one of those real, like, ones that really gets under your skin and is really Deftones-y. They're just, like, super poetic, interesting lyrics and amazing songs that you can lose yourself in. You can just put the record on and have an experience, which is just amazing. And no one does that like Deftones do in our world. I can't wait for them to do another record. Do you like it, Jimmy? Were you a Gore fan?
Oh yeah, I loved it. You know, I thought so. But everything they've done, I've really liked, to be fair. Like, I mean, White Pony is probably still up there.
What a classic.
Yeah.
That turns 20 this year.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, White Pony.
No nostalgia. We're not all dying.
We're dying.
Yeah, true. Who else we got down
every
here?
Every day.
Since we're born.
New Nightwish album coming this year. This their first album in 5 years. That's a long gap for a modern and active. Yeah. Did you really not?
Yeah, because I haven't heard anything from them.
And that goes to show, doesn't it? They've done some greatest hit stuff, and both Tour Mass and Fleur forever. And other members have all gone and done their own bits and bobs.
Did the singer leave and they get someone new or something? That's the last
time. No, that was years ago, mate. Oh, okay. Yeah, they changed that. They last lost a singer in 2012.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that must have been the last I heard of
them. Did the greatest hits set a download. That was one of the stops on the tour, wasn't it? The greatest hits tour.
That was Bloodstock, wasn't it? The headlines.
Sorry, in my head it was Bloodstock, but my mouth said download.
There you go.
Yeah. We did a feature in the mag at Bloodstock of sort of like behind the scenes of their headline set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it felt like they were on that greatest hits cycle for a really long time.
Yeah.
I think it was only a year, but it felt like forever we were sort of talking about that and kind of reflecting on the past. So
it's interesting what makes bands
like what the future's going to be.
Yeah, like what makes a band go, this is, I mean, that, you know, often it's
the
a
money.
Kind of, it's a, yeah, money, you know, to be fair. Often there's a release schedule they need to commit to with a record company. But at the same time, it does put a cap on, you know, it does put a kind of marker in your career, doesn't it? If you decide to do the big greatest hits roundup. So I wonder if that's going to affect what they do with this album. Very conceptually loaded, the last couple of records they've done. I don't know if Floor tends to have much involvement on the writing side of it, because Thomas pretty much
like,
does all of it.
When we did the feature with them at Bloodstock for their headline set, basically Thomas has said the album's already written, and Floor was like, yeah, this is really cool. Like, Thomas has written the album. It's exciting for us. We won't really know what it's going to sound like until we start working on it and stuff. So I think it's pretty much he does all that, and then everyone else kind of comes in when they
It's pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
And he has such a weird mind as well. Like, you never know what is going to come up with, like, Richard Dawkins, Scrooge McDuck. Like, what is it going to be?
I don't know if we've ever talked about Nightwish without you bringing up the Scrooge McDuck album.
It's so weird. Isn't it weird, though? Like, I like weird stuff. I'm drawn to it like a moth to a weird coloured flame.
But this is why, you know, we talk about how bands get big and stay big. It's by doing their own thing and doing it with the fuck they want. And Nightwish, if there's ever a band that's testament to not quote unquote selling out and just doing whatever the fuck you want and living, you know, doing your career on your own terms, and Nightwish are it, because as they've got bigger, their albums have got more weird and progressive and conceptually sprawling. It's just, it's mental. Absolutely mental. They got Richard Dawkins on their last album, for fuck's sake. Like, who does that?
But you know, I like weird.
Yeah, it's awesome. No, they are definitely good weird. So yeah, new album from them. That'll be interesting to hear. Gojira is on this list. It's got to be time for new music from them, surely.
When was their last album?
Magma in 2016.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Christ, yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago. And what an album that was. So excited for new Gojira. That should be great. Very excited about that.
I just did a silent scream. You couldn't hear it because it was silent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I felt it.
Thanks.
Five Finger Death Punch putting Fate out on February 28th. That's probably the first really big metal release coming. Obviously the first album since they went through a lot of turbulence, which they talked to us about last year. So it'll be interesting to see if that's, I mean, I don't really say a more cohesive Five Finger Death Punch album, because it's not like they fuck about with their music, is
They're always cohesive. They do what they do. They're Five Finger Death Punch.
Well, if they're doing that, but all on the same page, then
and
magic surely awaits.
And it's called F8, which means fate, and it's out on February
the 28th.
So do
you say F8 or fate?
I don't know. I think fate.
Yeah.
Because
F8 doesn't do anything on the keyboard, really, does it?
So is that like a really massive hurricane or something?
Oh, I've got... Oh, I don't even have an F8. Just thought I'd check my keyboard.
Maybe. And they're playing those big old shows with Megadeth across Europe this very month, which brings us to our next point. Hopefully, that new Megadeth album will come if Dave gets better and comes through this cancer battle and is able to get back on track with that. He's a hard old bastard, so...
Yeah. He is. I was reading an interview with him before we came in here today just to sort of see what was going on with them, and it was really interesting. It was all about his cancer diagnosis, about how he'd spoken with Bruce Dickinson about the recovery and what Bruce did when he had cancer as well, because I think they both had... it was a tumour under their tongue. And he spoke about Western and Eastern medicine. He spoke about, like, how he's really into martial arts and that kind of approach to his diagnosis, where it's about sort of prevention rather than just trying to cure something, and sort of listening to his doctors and trying to kind of do everything he could to heal. And in this interview he sounded pretty chilled out about it, that he was getting back into singing again, that he hadn't had the all clear yet, but he was on the road to recovery.
Oh, that's good.
So hopefully he'll be back in action soon. And yeah, it's quite an interesting one. I thought about how he was sort of taking his martial arts teachings into his health and stuff. It's always interesting to hear how people deal with things, you know, with their own belief systems and their own views and that kind of thing.
Marilyn Manson is due a new record, I believe. Yes. Good. The Goths in the corner are celebrating.
Favourite Manson very happy song, Jimmy? What's your favourite Manson song?
Kind of White.
Oh, same. What a choice.
It's the right answer. What's yours?
I don't know. Oh, I must have one. I can't think.
You asked me the question. You didn't even have an answer yourself.
No, I just want to hear your answer. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely Cameron White. I like the live version of Last Day on Earth as well.
Yes. That's really good. Yeah, off Last Tour on Earth. That's a great version. Yeah, the acoustic-y version.
What's my favourite song? Help.
I don't know.
Tourniquet's great as well.
I was just about that's to say, but he doesn't say... Yeah, he says tourniquet, not tourniquet. It's very confusing. Because how
should
you know
be said tourniquet.
Well, excited about a new record though?
Yeah, very excited. So.
Hoping for another kind of full-on country vibe for this album, aren't we? He's flirted with it a lot, but it just seems to be the thing he's best at in the modern era. And
I
he's
really
kind of touched
it.
Upon it with a Johnny Cash cover and everything else.
I really enjoy it. I just think it's like a really good way to grow. Like he's still doing a sort of dark thing, but it's kind of doing it with a bit of maturity.
Well, bit,
it's not just the same thing over and over again. And it feels, to use a word from Merlin, it feels cohesive what he's doing. But he's not working
with... That is my word.
Good word.
He's not working with Tyler Bates anymore. He's working with Shooter Jennings. So it's like he's really going really country.
Yeah. Oh, that's so suiting.
Sort of
like
going
said,
from the soundtrack thing to the actual country thing, which I think...
Oh, that's
cool.
Exciting.
I hope that's where he goes because it just would make sense to me. And you could probably get away with more... kind of low energy live shows, let's say.
Oh no, but I love the high energy ones. Even when he broke his leg, he still made it into part of the show. He was like in his weird like.
But live Marilyn Manson is a very
hit or miss.
You never know
like,
what you're gonna get.
There's a bit where he was on the like a bed and like people were attending to him and stuff. It was cool.
Yeah.
He can't do any wrong in my eyes in terms of performance, so don't care.
Well, you
really?
Clearly
did
not see
him
at Download 2009.
I did, and everybody was being shitty about him, and I was like, I don't care,
that
I love him anyway.
That was the worst performance I think I've ever seen.
It was really bad. Don't, but to be care. Fair to him, I've seen him be really good since then, I've seen him be not so great since then.
Do you know what?
We enjoyed him at Wembley a couple of years back, didn't we?
I can say, objectively, that wasn't a good show, because I understand why, like, what made it not be a good show, but any day that I get to see... an artist that I like perform, that makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me too, so unless they crush my dreams right in front of me.
I didn't feel like I was having my dreams crushed. It just felt like another step on the journey that is Manson.
Oh, what a nice way of putting it. I appreciate
that. One of my first Manson singles was, I think it was The Beautiful People, and my mum bought it for me from Woolworths while I was at school. So it's been a long road for me.
Woolworths was a department store. was in the UK up until about 2003.
They went out of business because everyone kept stealing the pick and mix. They left behind.
Yeah, that's definitely why they went out of business.
That is definitely why.
I left it by the door. I was,
did you do that?
No, I definitely didn't. No.
Were you one of those people that used to stick your grubby fingers in it?
Nor does he condone stealing pick and mixes from
extinct
stores or otherwise.
You can't use your hand. You have to use one of those small
scoops.
Yeah,
no, I hate people who use their hands. It's disgusting.
What's your favourite?
Unlike thieving.
What's your favourite pick and mix sweet?
Oh god.
Oh mate, I can smash this.
Go on.
Well, I asked Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, but I've got mine ready. All the like anything that's the kind of like chocolatey solid stuff, like the ice cream cones or the mice, the strawberry and like those kind of like they all taste like white chocolate or like kind of strawberry chocolate. Do you know what I mean? All those ones, Jazzles, all that shit.
Jazzles.
I just load up on like five different versions of the same fucking thing and just
I'll
go
be
mental.
Quite boring in big cola bottles.
Oh,
it's
the
worst
one.
Shut up.
It's a good
one.
With sugar or without sugar?
I like both.
Right,
yeah. I quite like sour stuff. So
Okay.
Oh, cola cubes quite nice as well.
Oh, I love cola cubes. If you eat too much, though, it makes your tongue sore.
Does it?
What? Maybe I've got a defective
To be fair, if I eat too many sweets, my tongue goes funny as well.
Yeah.
Well...
These are important things to talk about.
We digress.
Yeah, you know what? You derailed the fucking podcast for about 2 hours on ice cream once last year, so we're not doing it again. It's 2020. It's a new era.
What's your favourite ice cream?
Oh.
No. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not doing it.
We'll talk about this afterwards, Jimmy,
okay, cool,
but it's called Blue Cloud.
Right, okay. Sorry, Merlin.
Trivium.
Trivium. Well, Matt Heafy's busy doing metal covers of Toss a Coin to Your Witcher right now, which I'm fully stoked on.
But now, we've been here before at least twice with Trivium. It's probably fair to say, right? They are back on the verge of, I think, putting themselves in the position of being one of the premier bands in metal again.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that, don't get me wrong, they've always been right up there. You know, they've never kind of completely fallen off the rails, or, you know, they've always played like really solid sized venues across Europe, especially. But that last album was just so fucking good. I think it might actually have become my favorite Trivium album.
It's definitely mine.
Yeah, it was Shogun for years, but it's just, I go, every time I think I really want to listen to Trivium, I just put on the Sin of the Sentence now. Like,
that's
I really
my
do.
Favorite. I think it's brilliant. Like, I feel like I lost my way a little bit with them. Like,
I think a lot of people did.
You know, I was just kind of like, yeah, they're cool, but I didn't feel massively strongly, if I'm honest. And the Sin of the Sentence came out, and I just really loved like all the tracks on it. I just thought that it was
every
brilliant.
Time with them, that band has really smashed it.
It was
when
my
they just
one
stuck
Sin of
to. I mean, I sound like I'm being a hypocrite here, because I'm not saying they shouldn't experiment if that's what they honestly want to do. But every time they basically just sat there and gone, "We're Trivium. This is what Trivium is good at. We're gonna do it." Ascendancy, Shogun, In Waves, and The Sin in the Sentence, and all those albums are fucking great. And then when they seem to have overthought their next steps, like, oh, let's get David Draiman in to produce, and you know, because he's a big deal in America, and that will kind of create a slightly different vibe, or let's do like a kind of power metal album because why, you know.
I think it's confidence as well. You know, I think some of the tracks that are their strongest are ones where they just come out and just sound really, really confident on them. And again, that sounds like a bit of a simplistic thing to say, but I don't know. You just feel
the
like,
truth.
You just feel like there's just a strength there in some of their best songs. And I really think the last record, it just had a sense of confidence about it.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, just good songs. Yeah. Like the songs on it were all fucking great. And the tour they did, the Metal Hammer tour, on that bill with Code Orange, Venom Prison and Power Trip, they could have easily been shown up a little bit on a tour like that, and it was the best time I've ever seen them, and I would just, all the will in the world to make them take that forward and just smash it again, because when they're on it, Trivium, one of the best bands in metal. Simple
I really
as that.
Hope Sever the Hand stays in the set list, whatever they do next.
You might say that.
It's my favourite.
Banger, no doubt about it. We've got a big list here. Buried Tomorrow as well. They've obviously dropped a new track at the end of last year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, so they've just wrapped up the Black Flame cycle, and it looks like they're kind of getting straight back on it again, hopefully. Again, young British band, you know, they've kind of just managed to slowly but surely become one of the biggest bands in modern British metal without ever being really like the hype band that everyone plants their flag in, you know what
I
mean?
Well, I think that's the problem, is that they always felt like they were actively being de-hyped. That's not a word. But for a long time, they felt like the media...
Certainly taken for granted, at least.
Yeah, they felt like the media was against them. They felt like other people were sort of getting the spotlight for whatever reason, whether it was to do with trends or people's connections or whatever. And it felt like, you know, I think they felt a bit hard done by. But they've had a core group of fans that have stuck with them, and they've carried on like through hard times. And now they're at this place where they've got this relationship with their fans where they really try and listen and give back and spend a lot of time supporting them. Like Danny Winter Bates has just organised these safe spaces on the
Buried
Tomorrow
tour
as well, because
yeah.
He works in the NHS in mental health, and he's organised these spaces where people can go and talk about what's going on with them and accessing services and stuff. And you can really feel like he's trying to make a difference. You know, it's not, he doesn't just want to go and sing, although like obviously that's great. You know, he wants to be more in people's lives and help change people's lives the better. I think that's really admirable. And their songs are, you know, they just do metalcore really well, and they can just go and just crush a room. A Buried Tomorrow show is really high energy.
Yeah,
you know,
it's great, yeah.
Again, like a lot of, it's a lot to get up on stage every night and do a show, and Buried Tomorrow, one of those bands where whenever I watch them, I just think they've just got energy. They're just on. They're just really
switched on.
Yeah,
I've seen it a few times.
You know.
I've never phoned it in. It's always been,
exactly that. Never phoned it in. Never kind of felt like it was anything but 100%. And a band that can go on stage and totally give it 100% and care about the people that are there as well. Like, can't ask for more than that, can you?
Absolutely. Back. Everything you both just said. speaking of young British exciting bands. kind of out of the blue. Looks like Marmosets are going to be up to stuff next year.
Yeah.
Josh from the band tweeted the very simple words, Marmosets 2020. So unless they're running for the US presidency, I think it's fair to say that we're going to get new Marmosets music this year, which is weird because I was actually listening to The Weird and Wonderful that day. And I was under the impression from pretty much everything I'd heard and what we'd kind of seen from them recently, aka fuck all, that they weren't really looking at doing much in the near future. So this was a really pleasant surprise and I would be very interested to see what they do next. Thoughts?
Feels like they've always just done their own thing as well. Like you can't really tell what they're going to do. Like they started out as this sort of spiky, angular, I don't know what that means. You know what I mean though? The spiky kind of like erratic, like British rock slash metal.
I think angular was a fair band. Yeah. Fair term.
Well, it's just one of those words you wheel out and then you go, that's a music journalism word that doesn't really mean anything. Yeah. But I mean sort of like staccato, spiky, yeah, slight aggression.
Yeah. That's angular. What I assumed you meant by that. Yeah.
Thanks, Jimmy. So yeah, I think they've always had their own personality and I kind of like the fact, like you said, they could just kind of come out and go, we've got new music coming out. I think that's cool because it's nice to be surprised. And I think they always do that. I think they always surprise. You never quite know what sort of songs they're going to put out. And there's always something in them. There's always like a little bit of experimentation, a little bit of something new, a little bit of a new sound that you can get on board with and go, oh, hey, I didn't know they could do that. That's cool.
I did feel like the last album was an odd one. There's like some fucking amazing tracks on there. I think Major System Error might be my favourite song they've ever done. But there was also a lot of stuff on there that felt like it didn't quite fit with what they're trying to do.
I feel like they gradually sort of sanded the edges down a bit.
Yeah, maybe that's a good way
of putting it. Maybe a little bit too much on the last one, whereas the one before that was, you felt like it was sort of very kind of
felt more urgent. And
exactly, like, yeah, more urgent, more intense.
I did a facial expression at Elle, just clarify.
I did one back.
It's this one.
They're both wonderful facial expressions. You should be proud of yourselves.
Oh, thanks. Okay. You've got a good face too.
Thanks.
Mama's
My mum doesn't say so.
Oh. She's partly responsible for your face.
I know, that's why she hates it.
Yeah.
How's this going?
And a happy new year.
What did you say?
It's therapy.
Oh, okay. We're on a
Not
couch.
The band.
Yeah. No, we're on a couch. We can sit down and have a chat. It's all
Thanks.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Creeper. I know they're a band close to your heart.
Very,
Young
very
James.
Much so, yes.
They are doing stuff. They are, we presume, doing a new album out.
Mostly written, I think. When I was speaking to Will the other day, he said...
Inside Scoop. Done, yeah. Nice, good.
So it's very exciting, so I'm looking forward to hearing that.
What do you hope for from a Creeper album? A band who love to play with their image, love to play with, storylines and mystique and symbolism.
They had their first show, boxing same matchback, first show back a couple months ago, wasn't it, in Camden. Mm. I was sad I wasn't there, but like they've changed their image and stuff. They've got new branding out. I hope it's still some of the more goth punk stuff, like along the same lines as it, but like the same with AFI, like they've always evolved their sound.
I'm wondering how long it'll take you to bring up AFI.
Well,
this is quite a long time. To
be
fair,
I've done well.
Yeah, I think it's done really well.
You did good. That's about 45 or so minutes
there we
in,
go.
I think.
Yeah,
so that's sort of.
Normally doesn't take
and
that
if you are wondering, Jimmy Havoc's name is, of course, taken from Mr. Davey Havoc.
Mr. Davey Havoc, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And his entrance theme is famously I Hope You Suffer by AFI.
Well, it was.
It was, yeah.
Yes.
It was in progress.
Yes.
And we saw it get used fairly recently and tear the house down, which was good. So. That was nice. But yeah, Creeper, anyway, sorry, on the goth punk.
Yeah, I'm very much very excited about that. Yeah. Turning Me in My Arms was my favourite one of a couple of years ago. Because that came out the same year as Blood, I think, didn't it? AFI.
Oh, yeah, did you? Yeah, as AFI, yeah.
Creeper did a funeral for some of their songs. How'd you feel about that?
I'm pretty sure they've played some of them since,
yeah,
to be honest.
So, yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't see their last show. So
I was at that funeral one.
I was at the funeral, but I haven't seen them since they did the funeral.
Yeah.
You were right then, you can still get to hear favourites.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I saw Frank Turner at Wembley and he said he'd played Me and My Friends was the last time he was ever going to play it because that was about him coming up, but he's played it every time I've seen him since. So.
Brilliant.
So, Rockstars are always going back on their word, yeah. Like Motley Crue.
Well, when they're bangers, like, no, I'm looking forward to Motley Crue next year. I've got tickets for that already in Orlando. So
good for you.
Yeah. You know, Motley Crue fan, Marlene?
I love Motley Crue. That's why I can't stand to watch them anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. Any time I saw them was at Download a couple of years ago, and I was really drunk, and they seemed really good. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've seen them be fucking great, but yeah. It was a while. Last time I saw them be truly brilliant was probably Download 2009, I think, when they headlined the second stage. They were great that day. But, you know, that's for another time. Who else could be doing stuff? I just remembered that it's probably round about time for a new Carpenter Brute record, which would be good.
Oh, yeah.
The king of synthwave himself.
That would be really cool.
Smashed out of the underground and kind of took synthwave to everyone's wider consciousness last time out. Can you repeat the trick, do you reckon?
Yeah, I want to get more in depth with it, because at the live shows they sort of had the visuals at the back that were sort of telling the story, weren't they, of like this guy and his girlfriend and stuff, and I feel like they were going to develop that story in some way, but I can't remember how. I'm sure we talked about it with him in an interview. So I'm kind of curious. I love that Carpenter Brute record, and I could
it's really good, isn't it?
I just listen to that all day, to be honest. So if he does something like that again, and it'd be cool if he's got like more visuals and more story as well, I'd be well into that. Like a comic book or something would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really awesome. Yeah.
That'd be badass. We don't really know what some of the big heavyweights are doing. Kind of Maiden, when I saw Maiden in California in September, Bruce said there'd be new music sooner than we think. I mean, any point in 2020 would probably come under that category. So it'll be interesting to see if we see anything from Maiden. Of course, Steve Harris is currently doing stuff with British Lion. Bruce has various spoken word things going on through the year. And then Maiden are doing the third leg of the Legacy of the Beast tour across summer. So there's not actually a lot of time in there to really get a new album done. So I'm interested to see if they can fit that in and if that's on the agenda. I certainly hope it is, because it will have been 5 years since Book of Souls. And that's a long fucking time. And I want new Maiden music.
I just think they're tireless. Like, I don't know how they do it. Like, crazy, I want what they're having. Do you know what I mean?
A successful 40-year metal career.
Yeah.
Good luck.
What are you saying? Because I'm a young woman, I can't have exactly the same lifestyle.
No, as I did not say that at all. I said good luck having a 40-year.
Good.
But you need to get on with your debut album.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you haven't written anything yet.
Just saying.
I just want their energy. I just, you know, I think that's amazing. Like, you know, I know you're a huge, huge Maiden fan.
Sure am.
And they don't mean quite the same thing to me, but I'd really admire what they've done. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not a huge fan, to be honest. Sorry, Merlin.
I think what they've built is right.
I'm glad you recognise you should apologise. Appreciate your apology.
I feel a bit like we're on the naughty couch.
Really are.
I feel like that a lot, to be fair. Especially
okay,
at home.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. What's he going to do? Look at him.
But yeah, hopefully. Me? Fuck's sake. God
do
almighty.
Do you think I could take him on?
Yeah, I'll definitely.
I know you could, because you do Taekwondo. No, yeah, Tai Chi.
Tai Chi
every Thursday.
Taekwondo.
You brought a sword into the office a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I did.
Was it the wooden one?
Terrifying.
No, this was really embarrassing because I brought the wrong sword in.
Oh, you
idiot.
You
want to do that.
Yeah, so I had a class.
Well, in your case, that's not far off, Jim. That's the thing.
I had a class.
I did bring a sword to a match once.
Did you? Yeah. What kind of sword?
Massive metal broadsword.
Use it.
Is that a euphemism?
Oh my word. I saw Jimmy literally about a week ago break. What do you call those big wooden things that you were smashing into him?
The
big toothpicks.
Skewers.
Barbecue skewers.
Yeah, smashed into my head. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, I saw him get barbecue skewers smashed into his head so hard that they were just like standing there like a mohawk. Yeah. Oh, mate.
That's fine. My head still hurts from that. Actually. It's still
I should think it
there.
Did. Yeah.
It's got holes in it.
Yeah. I'll show an L the video of that guy pouring salt into the thing as well.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jimmy's currently showing Al his scars and recent injuries.
Someone's just got a cheese grater.
If for some reason you've missed out on the absolute insanity that is a Jimmy Havoc death match, then there's some probably not safe for work highlights on YouTube.
Looks like someone's got a cheese grater and has grated a bit of your head off.
No, I've done cheese graters before. I was holding a cheese grater once and I fell over with it and I took some of my finger off. So that was fun.
I mean, it doesn't get more metal than that, does it? And speaking of which, to get us back on track, eh? Metallica, another interesting one. Obviously, James has been in rehab. We don't know if he's still going through the process or not. We haven't heard anything from the Metallica camp for a while on that. But they're doing those big US shows, the festival shows, where they're playing two sets at each show. Those should be great.
I want to try and get along to one of them.
Yeah, all right, Mr. America.
Well, I live there. What It's not my fault, is it?
Well, it is. You moved there.
Well, yeah, I put it is my fault. I went there, yeah. But sorry, well, you can come America. Visit if you want.
Thanks, mate. I'd love to.
I'm not Captain America. I'm Batman.
Oh, yeah. I'm Batman.
You're Robin at best. Come on.
Oh.
That's not fair. You
could just
Batman.
Be a goth Captain America. So all the wholesome stuff you could just strip away and you can just be this, like, you know, represent everything that's unwholesome.
Sounds about right anyway.
You're Thanos, mate. Where were we? Metallica.
I want half the world to die.
So. Trying to keep this somewhere on the rails, guys. Yes, Metallica. It's going to be 4 years since Hardwired to Self-Destruct in September or November time. I can't quite remember when that album came out, but this autumn, it would have been 4 years.
It seems like a long time now, yeah.
It is, but I wonder if, when I interviewed Lars and James, they both pretty much said that they don't want it to be another 8 years before a new album. Maybe 4 years is a bit soon. There might be a bit more mileage in this current tour setup they've got yet, but I'd like to think they're seriously thinking about new music.
I just like the way, again, like you get the surprise element. Like there wasn't anything for ages and they did like Through the Never, and obviously some people hated on that, but it's like they just done something completely random. Yeah. Like last year they had out that children's book, the A to Z of Metallica. It's like, yeah, why not? Yeah. Why not just do that? Because you can. So why not? Why not be creative and just do all these crazy things? Like,
did they do S&M 2 as well last year? Was that?
They sure did.
Yeah.
I went and it was bloody great.
Oh, it was good.
Oh, and obviously Hardwired was a double album. Yeah. And it's like I'd love to just see something really cool and random. Yeah. Like maybe they've got a new album out, but it also comes with, I don't know, a VR game or it.
Or
I don't know. Or. Just trying to think of things like that. Or it comes with an ice cream, or it comes with a chocolate bar, or it comes with, you know, I don't know, just something really crazy. Or like they make yeah.
You get a little dog with it.
Yeah, you get
with every issue.
Dog
every CD.
With every album. You get a little dog. What would CD, you like with a Metallica granddad. Album?
Ice cream would be nice. That'd be quite good. Maybe a little coat for my dogs.
Poor Merlin. Anyway.
Why me?
Poor you, because you're trying to keep it on track.
Oh, it's fine.
No, I just like to see.
It doesn't matter.
Because I do think they just throw caution to the wind and just go, we're a big band, we can just do things, let's do this. I just love, like, we get halfway through the year and they're just like, oh, Metallica are doing X, Y, and Z. And you're just like, oh, cool. Like, didn't expect that to happen. That'd just be fun, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And I think as well, that people are really back with Metallica again. I feel like everyone's on side with them now compared to a few years ago. They kind of stopped being the standard, like, you know, laughing, like, in joke of the metal scene, because they're doing Lulu, or they're doing they're spanking millions on a movie or whatever. Like pretty much everything they've done in the last few years has been fucking great. If I had my way, I'd have them do Garage Inc. 2 and then a new album next year.
Let's
do it.
The festival didn't work though, did it?
Orion Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even that was like 7-8 years ago.
It's a real shame though, because you know, we've got something like Knotfest, which now seems to be going around different bits of Europe. They've got the cruise in Barcelona, they've got the event here. It's kind of a shame that whatever Metallica did wasn't quite working, because that was one location in the States, wasn't
it? Set something of a precedent, I guess, which wouldn't be the first time.
No, of
course. Look at what's happened at Glastonbury since they played. You know, they are still kicking down doors in a way, I think.
And that's what
awesome.
I like about doing the random surprise thing that you don't know what's going to happen. It's like, you know, when you look back and Nas was right about Napster, do you know what I mean? Like look at streaming now, like they are forward thinking as a band.
Absolutely. So. Be bang up for Metallica action this year at some point. We didn't actually end up fantasy booking Knotfest, but I guess we'd all agree that we'd have Slipknot at the top.
Yes.
I don't think they need to do any special set really, because they're still on a recent album cycle.
I just want to hear more of that record.
If you could book three other bands, let's say it's a one dayer. Oh, it is a one dayer, isn't it? Let's say it's like maybe one or two stages, but you could book like three other bands to fit on that bill that haven't been put anywhere yet. Who would you put on there?
Are we going realistic, or are we going like if money was no object? Because like
fairly realistic,
you pick your favorite bands, but that's not going to happen. You know, like if you're just going to pick Nine Inch Nails or something, that's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Probably not. No, they're probably a bit too big, but only just really.
Nah, definitely.
Slipknot bigger than Nine Inch Nails, so you could feasibly have a festival lineup that.
Well, yeah, but is Trent Reznor like, a bit too big, Eddie? Slipknot, probably.
I don't know if that's true about what you just said, because that Slipknot bigger than Nine Inch Nails. Because Nine Inch Nails do massive venues, and Trent is a worldwide recognised composer.
Slipknot do equally big venues and also now stadiums, I would argue.
This is a hard one. We need to get some facts.
All right. Let's get the streams out. Let's get the streams out.
I would have thought that Slipknot are bigger than Nine Inch Nails, to be fair.
But
especially in today's climate.
You would not have a festival bill that had Slipknot playing under Nine Inch Nails, would Definitely you? Not. But I could foresee a bill potentially where Nine Inch Nails would play under Slipknot.
I can't see a bill where they would play under them, though. I can't see any situation.
Yeah, both are unlikely. Both are unlikely. I'd agree with that.
I think Nine Inch Nails sort of decided to move away from doing the rock festivals and that whole scene thing, but then, I don't know.
I mean, according to good old Spotify, Closer by Nine Inch Nails, 82 million streams, which pales in comparison to the literally hundreds of millions Slipknot do. So I kind of feel like Slipknot are...
But then it's funny, isn't it? Bigger. I think it's a different audience. This is going off on a bit of a tangent here, but it's like Tool, you know, and you were like, oh, will they still be big because they've been away and they've not been on streaming platforms? And I'm like, yeah, but they're literally like massive and there's all these people that aren't on streaming platforms.
And they were so good.
A different generation.
So they're not bigger than them as well.
Who still have... no, but who still have like... the pulling power to sell out venues and stuff.
But Nine Inch Nails.
It's a funny one. Like what I'm saying is that I don't know. Like I find it with the different generations of people who listen to music, consuming music, buying music in different ways, watching music in different ways. You can't always tell just from streaming figures how much money someone could make, for example, how many people would turn out to see something. It's a little bit difficult to tell.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, but I would still say personally I think that Slipknot are recognisably and noticeably bigger than Nine Inch Nails. I think they probably sell more records, and I think Nine Inch Nails get one album.
I definitely think there's much more widespread recognition of Slipknot in terms of like a household name. Like if you're walking down the road and you stop somebody and go, "You heard of Slipknot?" They definitely will have done, but Nine Inch Nails is definitely more niche. But I just think, yeah, it's difficult to tell with the way the audiences are.
Maybe. I don't think Nine Inch Nails do things like...
I would like them both.
You're allowed to like them both. You can have your own opinion, though. But yeah, I think Nine... Anyway, to get you back to Knotfest, I think Nine Inch Nails are probably a bit too big to play that. But
if we're talking like dream ones, I'd love that to see Slipknot headline the Rain Festival and Nine Inch Nails. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it would be awesome. And I don't... I think...
But I don't think it would happen.
Probably not.
Yeah. I can have dreams.
If it was a different, if it was download, I think you could maybe have Nine Inch Nails playing under Slipknot download, maybe. But something about it being a Knotfest makes it feel a bit too subservient to Slipknot. So who would you have?
Lamb of God is a really good, like, yeah. It's just a really good match.
Unfuckwithable choice.
I think, like, audiences are very similar and they're just both great bands.
Yeah, definitely.
Who else? Well, we mentioned Code Orange, and they'd be really good openers.
Yeah, they would probably be on my list, to be honest, as well. I think they'd be booking for them.
That. So that's three. Do you think there'd be like? There'd definitely be like one or two more.
Yeah, I mean I don't know what it's going to be. It could be a couple stages for all we know. We have no idea what they're doing.
I'm literally just guessing. It would be a sort of like slightly bigger gig. Five bands or something. You know,
where is it? Is it Milton Keynes?
Milton Keynes Bowl. No, yeah, Milton Keynes Bowl. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think those were great shouts. I'd back Lamb of God. I'd definitely back Code Orange. They'd almost be one of the first bands I put on there just because it'd be so cool to have them on. Deftones, although they are doing download, of course.
Yes, if it weren't
Stop already. Throwing spanners in all my
If it weren't for download, Sorry. I'd have Korn and Deftones, I think.
Yeah, with Slipknot.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're both put for download, so.
Limp Bizkit, fuck it.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit would be great. Oh, that would be a great booking. Slipknot and Limp Bizkit. I mean, Slipknot, Marilyn Manson as sub-headliner would be pretty solid.
Rob Zombie.
A lot of people go to that.
Rob Zombie
would be a great shout. I'd like to see something a bit like outside of the box, like maybe a more old-school booking. Someone like Mercyful Fate, they're doing the rounds. They're like a cool heritage band that a lot of people might not know so much about. I would have said someone like Judas Priest, but they're already booked for Bloodstock. But yeah, someone like them or... again, Megadeth would be a cool shout. Obviously, they're on this tour with Five Finger Death Punch, but there'd be another cool shout.
I feel like you want bands that are going to bring a bit of a party vibe. Like, it's a fun day out. You don't really want anyone who's going to, like, be a bit slow or a bit of a downer. No. I think you want people who can, like, match the intensity and the energy of what Slipknot do, which is amazing. Like, Slipknot are all on stage during a show. That is, like, again,
Mind Yourself and Indulgence still together?
I don't think so. You could probably reunite them though if you wanted for your show.
Cheers, thanks.
Why not?
I thought they were
You're
still
booking
together.
It. Do what you want.
I thought they were still together, but maybe I'm wrong.
I honestly don't know, to be honest.
I'm pretty sure I saw like Jimmy Urin pop up on social media not so long ago.
Jimmy Urin.
I think he does stuff like roundabout in the music industry in some way. You know, even if they're not
good grief.
That is my name, yes.
But you're not called Jimmy Urin?
I'm not, no.
No.
That's a different person.
Well, yeah, that's just some of the things we're excited about across 2020. And next week, the new issue of Metal Hammer will be out, our first of the year. That's going to go into even more depth than you've heard today on all the stuff to get excited about for 2020. It's also featuring 4 exclusive covers that you can pick up in shops. It's going to be massive, but more on that next week. We put out some feelers for reader questions. Broke the record for most number of questions asked to the Metal Hammer podcast, I think.
Oh, wow.
So thanks very much for coming here. Lots and lots for Jimmy. Some that we can, all three of us can probably get stuck in on. Don't forget, it's facebook.com/Metal Hammer Readers, or you can find us just on Twitter at Metal Hammer to ask us questions for the podcast every week. The first one is for Jim. Absolutely. It's from Kyle Prescott on Twitter, and he says, I know you're a big fan of AFI, Jimmy.
I don't really talk about it very often. So
no, you don't.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You should make it part of your gimmick. I know you're a big fan of AFI. Since you're from the UK, I was wondering if you're a fan of Architects as well. Great band.
I'm very, very much a fan of Architects. All Our Gods of Abandonment is still one of my favourite albums, I think. That might even be in my top 10 albums ever. Oh, wow. Maybe, I love it, yeah. Gone with the Wind, I think, is one of the most underrated songs. Like, they've ever put, I think it's just a banger. The last one was fucking wicked as well.
Yeah, amazing.
And they're so good live as well.
Oh, they are just a true national treasure of the British metal scene.
No, I'm glad they're doing as well as they are, because they deserve it.
Did they headline the second stage at Download not that long ago? Because they'd be an interesting booking for...
Yeah, and I feel like maybe this year they'll have new music as well. It's probably about time, isn't it?
Towards the end of the year it will be, yeah. I think. Yeah. God, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't fuck with Architects. Do you want to take the next question, Al?
Alexis Desmal asks, what is the one band with the original lineup you wish you could see?
Have you guys got a good answer for this?
I wish I could have seen Nirvana.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if we're going for anybody, that would have been
amazing. Yeah.
That's like...
I never got a chance to see Pantera either.
Yeah, no, Pantera back in the day would have been... before it all went to shit and Phil disgraced himself. That would have been good. That's a great shout. I mean, including artists that are no longer with us.
Queen would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah, Queen, of course. Yeah. I've got an Alice in Chains t-shirt on. Alice in Chains with Lane would have just been... something else.
I think that's the thing, actually. Like, you guys have just named all the bands that I... Well, because sorry. It's just sad when you love something but you've never
absolutely
been able to see it before, you know? Like, you're just never going to have the opportunity, but...
I had tickets for the Michael Jackson tour before he died.
Did you?
So, yeah. No, the 30 dates to the O2. And I wish I'd have seen George Michael before he died.
That would have been great, yeah. Back that. Would have loved to see George Michael. I saw Black Sabbath, but it was when Bill wasn't with the band. If Black Sabbath did decide to do one last show with Bill, I'd love to go to that. Guns N' Roses with Izzy and Steve included would be cool. I've seen them perform with Izzy for a couple of songs, and obviously they're doing, you know, Duff and Slasher back in the band at the moment, but Guns N' Roses with Izzy and Steve would be amazing. Or I'd take Matt Sorum, to be honest, as well.
I'd love to see Linkin Park again with Chester.
Yeah, of course.
When we saw Hybrid Theory at Download, that's one of my favourite ever shows.
Genuinely the best half hour I've probably ever had.
Loved it so much.
Rage Against the Machine, who are back. I'm hoping I get to see them again. Thin Lizzy with Phil, of course, would be awesome. I saw them with Scott Gorham about 10 years ago, and that was really good fun. And also, I'd actually love to see Marilyn Manson with the Hollywoods lineup.
That'd be cool.
Twiggy's a bit problematic nowadays, but
I saw them on that tour, the Hollywood tour.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Fuck. Well, when he had the big headdress and stuff. He came on the chariot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the home video to that.
Reading actually that year when it was him and Eminem.
Oh.
Yeah, and that he came on for. That was good. I stood in front of Twiggy, so that was quite cool.
And that was the year of like the big parental protest thing as well, wasn't it? Where all the parents were going outside the venues to protest against him playing. Yeah. I remember watching it on the evening news.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I was just having dinner with my family.
And that was the last time where, I mean, Marilyn Manson was always Marilyn Manson's band, but back then it felt like it was still a band of distinct personalities, whereas nowadays it tends to feel more like Manson and whatever kind of collaborator he's working with at the time, plus some other people, you know. Half that band is in Rob Zombie's band now.
Yeah, I think so. John Five's in Rob Zombie now.
Yeah, and Ginger Fish's as well.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Other than I Hope You Suffer, what is the best ring entrance music in wrestling? Asks Beanie12 from Twitter.
British Wrestle Rampage Brown comes out to I Will Be Heard.
That was good.
For Hatebreed, and that just gets the crowd going so fucking
That dropped
hard.
To that Progress show the other day as well. That was
good,
great.
That was real good. Edge's odd entrance music. The
Alter Bridge
run. Yeah. That's a good song.
That's a good one.
Yeah, if we're talking wrestlers that have had, like, quote unquote real songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Bret Hart's is always a good tune, though.
Oh, yeah. That's well underrated. My favourite was always Shawn Michaels, obviously. Of course. Because it was so ridiculous and he was a sexy boy.
I don't know what that one was. You have to, like, explain for people who don't understand wrestling
things. Shawn Michaels' entrance music was literally him going, doo-doo-doo-doo-hoo, hoo. I think I'm cute, nah, nah, nah. I know I'm sexy, nah, nah, nah. I got the looks, nah, nah, nah. They drive the girl wild, I got the moves, nah, nah, nah. Yeah,
really
that was
good.
It, and then
that's
he danced down to the ring, like that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah. I mean, the real American.
And he's widely considered the greatest professional wrestler of all time.
Sorry.
Were you about to say Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, Real American is a tune.
It is a banger, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know he's, disgraced. We should have like a problematic people swear jar or something when we have to talk about wrestlers and rock stars on the podcast. That's 50p. Yeah, that what banger that song is. Yeah, fair. Kane's original as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like big heavy metal song.
Yeah.
Undertaker having Kid Rock and then Limp Bizkit. Bangers. Good times. Do you want to do the next one now?
New metal. Given too much of a push too soon or ahead of its time? Asks Tyler Durpin.
I would say neither of those things, really. It was just a fucking awesome genre that produced some genuinely brilliant bands and a lot of wicked one-hit wonders.
I understand that some of the hatred towards it, but I don't know why I loved it. And I still love it. I still listen to Limp Bizkit. We saw Limp Bizkit last year, didn't we? And like, we sang at Montreal. Mm-hmm. And like,
RE the Hatred. Mm. Curious to know what you guys think, because I love new metal, and that was what got me into metal.
Yeah,
and I hadn't really heard about it before, and it was this whole new world opening up to me that I just didn't know
about.
And it was like amazing, and it literally changed my life, because I wouldn't be sitting here right now if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
But it's like I was like in it, just loving it, and thought it was great. But obviously now I'm older, I can see why people listening to traditional metal bands were like, what the fuck is this childish bullshit? Because it was like young people in baggy pants often singing stupid things or having a bit of a moan. And I still stand by it because I still love it and it's great. And it's not like I look back and go, oh no, like I like this awful music. Because I don't feel that way. I still love that music and I still listen to it. I still stand by it. I don't have any guilty pleasures or anything. But I can definitely see it now as an older person. Like at the time of it, could you understand why people didn't like it? Or does it sort of take a few years to understand it?
No, I think even back then, like I could sort of understand the criticisms.
Yeah.
But then like, I feel like I get why I was bullied at school as well. Because I was different and I was...
Yeah.
But like, then you got Fred Durst, who isn't known for not acting like a dickhead most of the time. So, do you know what I mean? Like, so
leave Fred alone. It's the Fred Durst Stan podcast.
No, I love him. I love him. But
red cap.
Yeah, he was a bit of a dickhead sometimes.
He could come across like an interesting fellow.
I get the hatred towards him from that, and like I do get from like traditional metal fans why they would have hated.
You can say Fred Durst was more of a dickhead than like 90% of prominent rock and metal frontmen.
Well, they were all doing it at the time, weren't they? They were all like making misogynistic comments and like just doing a load of drugs and drinking loads and just going mental.
But him and Limp Bizkit were the sort of poster boys for new metal, really, weren't they?
At my school, I feel like it was more... It was a funny one. I was going to say more Slipknot, but it was like the younger kids that were into Slipknot, like the mini moshers. They'd have like the hoodies on and stuff.
Yeah.
And like the older kids would be more into like Limp Bizkit. So it was like probably a little bit of a, not like a divide. I think everyone still liked all the music, but definitely like the flagship bands of different age groups sort of thing.
Like, well, I'd agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was Limp Bizkit around just before Slipknot anyway, really, wouldn't they? Like,
I didn't even think of why because there weren't really enough metalheads in my school to like have you feel like you were a lame metalhead for liking new metal. It was just like, even just by liking Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit, you were a bit of an outsider school just by proxy. So it was only really when I started to, I guess, pick up metal magazines and get more into the culture itself that I kind of thought, oh, new metal's not cool then, I guess. And kind of I almost felt a bit embarrassed by coming in at that level, because that's what a lot of the scene made you feel like. They made you feel ashamed to be a new metal fan. And then I grew the fuck up and realised that it doesn't matter. New metal's awesome. Exactly. Dangerous Brian on
name.
Twitter.
He's Brian.
What's dangerous about Interacting?
Do you remember Dangerous Brian from the Brian? What was it? The TV show on Saturdays on ITV. This is great. There was a segment on this TV show.
CD UK?
No. It was like
SNTV?
No. It was like a 1 hour show from this Brian something or other. But he had this bit where it's called Dangerous Brian. He wore like this silver outfit and he used to do stupid things. I'll find out what it is.
Was it on Richard Not Judy where they have the curious orange that talked?
No.
Not Brian Connolly.
Yeah.
Not his show.
What time of day was it?
I think it was like Saturdays in the afternoon, I think. But it's definitely... Google this. Yeah. Anyway, we'll go on with the question.
Yeah, so Dangerous Brian, who I apologise for not recognising this clearly famous reference that I'm too stupid to know.
I mean, he might just be dangerous, though. His name probably
That's
Brian,
true.
And he is just
It could be a massive
fellow.
Coincidence. Brian has asked, if you could form a stable of metalheads from AEW, All Elite Wrestling, who would you pick to be a member and what song would you name the stable after?
Cool. Okay, well, obviously Jericho's got to be in it.
Oh, yeah. He likes a bit of metal.
Yeah. I think
he's way more into the kind of 80s stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Frank Xarian, I think he's got his own band.
Oh, really?
I think they're playing the Whiskey, or they did over Christmas.
Wow.
He's in that. Darby Allin's a bit of a punk guy.
Cool.
I think he likes some metal as well. I'll put him in that.
That's a good little stable.
Yeah.
Who would you...
I don't know what we call
it. What would you name it?
Obviously, I'd have to do an AFI thing, probably the Lost Souls.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well done.
Thanks, mate.
That was thought of quickly. The Lost Souls.
I've always wanted to call...
Stick that on a T-shirt.
I've always wanted to have a stable called Lost Souls.
So, yeah. I would buy that T-shirt.
Thanks, mate.
I did just look up and Dangerous Brian was Brian Connolly.
Oh, Brian Connolly.
The Brian Connolly show. So there you go. Do you want to
I wasn't making
question?
Stuff up.
No.
You got I think I was just imagining some guy in a silver suit.
Amazing pop culture reference, whereas we are devoid of culture.
Know.
We know nothing.
That amazing pop culture reference from 1996 on TV in the afternoons. Didn't he have a little, like, ferret or something that used to hit?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. You used to hit it with
And then he used to say, sharp, it's only, whatever it was.
It's only a puppet.
It's only a puppet. Yeah. Oh, God. This is all sparking memories in me now. It's only a puppet. Whatever happened to that guy? Anyway, sorry. I'm derailing the fucking podcast now.
Shall I do a question?
Yeah, go on. Shut me up.
Rob Lake says, Happy New Year to you all.
Oh, Happy New Year, mate.
Happy New Year, Rob. Now, who do you want in the magazine over the next year? And who was the biggest get over the last year?
Oh, man. If you could pick anyone to interview, I think I know who you're
in
on to be.
In the next year?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've written down one answer that I reckon would be yours.
I didn't look at it. Maybe you know me better than I know myself.
We've been talking about him. Mr. Trent Reznor.
Yeah. Well, he's my white whale. Like, I've never interviewed him. I've never even read Moby Dick, to be honest. I've interviewed probably everybody that I listened to growing up and that I listen to now and that I... You know,
that's pretty cool.
I mean, there are a lot of people that I really enjoy the music of, but I've never interviewed Trent because Nine Inch Nails don't do a whole lot of media these days because they don't really need to.
Who's your favourite person you've ever interviewed?
Well, I was excited when I interviewed Manson just because I always wanted to interview Manson.
And I'm always very excited about that one as well, weren't you?
When I did Manson?
Yeah.
I thought it would be the only time I met him, so I was like, I need to, like, you know, like, make this count sort of thing. And then, like, I interviewed him about three more times soon after, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, no, I've interviewed him a few times.
Best friends
forever. And also interviewed him while he was sitting on a toilet, but he was clothed.
Oh, good. There you go. Was there just no other seats available? Or?
That was exactly it, actually.
Why are we doing the interview in the bathroom?
Because we were backstage at show, and he was in this room of like 20 people, and he was sitting on this one chair, and there was like a table, and he was playing music, and there were all these people in the room, like industry people and like fans and people he knew and stuff. And I was meant to be interviewing him after the show. So I get in this room of like 20 people, and I'm like, I don't want to interview Manson in a room of 20 people. Yeah. This is just like not the ideal situation. And he only had this one chair, so he got up and offered it to me. And I was like, that's not really fair. Like, that's your chair. And he's like, oh, there's nothing else here apart from the toilet. And I think I was like, oh, if you're really like rock and roll, you do the interview in the toilet. So he just got up and did the interview in the toilet. Cool, so I sat on the chair that he'd given me, and he sat on the porcelain throne.
Wow.
But yeah, I just think he's just one of those people that likes to say things that are shocking and interesting. And I like I said, I like surprise. I like to sort of talk to somebody and not really know what they're going to come out with. It just makes it interesting. And he does kind of use similar jokes with different interviewers. Yeah. I think he sort of has his bits that he likes to do, but it's just kind of interesting sitting down, not really knowing what's going to happen. So yeah.
So get Manson back in the mag. You'd be more than welcome to. Yeah, hopefully we'll be doing well. I'm sure we will be doing stuff with Manson this year if he has got a new
album.
Who's yours,
Merlin? Who do you want?
Well, I wrote down Trent Reznor. I'm obviously nowhere near the Nine Inch Nails fan you are, but I'd love to pick his brains. But number one probably be Axl Rose, just because
he
just doesn't really do those kind of interviews anymore, and it would just be amazing to.
I didn't even think about that because he's just kind of, you know, this sort of big, like, you know, classic rock star just out there in the ether.
And in terms of who are the biggest gets last year, I mean, with Metal Hammer, one of the things we really love doing is just uniting artists and getting conversations that you just won't see anywhere else. So having Amy Lee and Sharon Donardell in the same room as each other talking was really fucking cool. It'd never been done before, might never be done again. Well, they're more likely to be done now because they're touring together this year. But still, it was a cool world exclusive for us, right?
Yeah, it was really cool.
And they hadn't actually confirmed that they hadn't actually officially booked that tour when we did that. So that's pretty cool. Getting Rammstein, getting Flacker to talk to us was awesome. That was like, it predominantly talked to us about kind of pre-Rammstein career, but they're not a band that does a whole lot of press. So that was really cool. Obviously, Tool was amazing. Finally getting the band to actually open up to Elle about the new record was fascinating, and getting the first Baby Metal interview last year as well. They're a band that we're always very proud to kind of be first on the scene with, and last year was no exception, so that was cool.
Slipknot as well, we did like
Slipknot, that was great.
Special kind of massive feature on them. It was All Hope Is Gone, wasn't it? Was that the last year's one? Or no, we've done two more since then. Help me. Which Slipknot was the last one? The last record?
The album?
Yeah, it was the album. I just skip back in time.
We Are Not Your Kind.
Yeah, We Are Not Your Kind.
Yeah. We did do an All Hope Is Gone cover.
But that was like a year half ago.
That's a few years ago, wasn't it?
Just over a year ago.
I haven't gone too far back in time. But yeah, the last one obviously.
Time is a nebulous concept.
Time is a nebulous concept. Obviously, the last one was We Are Not Your Kind. And I'm thinking of the shoot we did with the collectible covers. So we had the nine members and.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool.
I love doing that. I still haven't got all the members that I wanted, so I have to keep.
Well, I've seen some sites on eBay you can pay a lot of money for now. Not mine, by the way, just to be absolutely clear. Moonlit Knit asks, if you could only pick one album to listen to the rest of your life, what would it be? Is it an AFI one?
What do you think?
Which one?
Probably The Art of Drowning.
Is that your favourite AFI record?
Sing with Sorrow.
Because that's a question here as well from Joss Martin 85 on Twitter while we're here.
it goes back and forth between Sing with Sorrow and Art of Drowning, I think, is one of my favourites. The Art of Drowning is the first one to listen to. I saw him supporting The Offspring in like 01, I think.
Is that the one where Davey stacked it on stage?
Possibly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd never heard of him before. I only went to The Offspring and I just thought AFI were incredible. Really? And I fell in love.
That's such a nice story.
I back your AFI album choices. I'll probably chuck Black Sails in there as well.
Yeah,
it was like three tens out of ten in a row, that run, wasn't it?
If you got a different one.
I Hope You Suffer obviously has a lot of emotional connection to me because of, you know, using the music, and you know, the lyrics are very how I feel about a lot of things. I think Total Immortal is one of my favourites as well, yeah.
What would be one album you'd listen to forever if you had to,
I really hate this question.
Well, it is a question. You're going to have to answer it.
Why? Why would you make me?
Do you want to join the magazine? You'll make a great interviewer.
You can't make me answer a question, Jimmy.
I bet I could. God.
I don't know. Like, it's just really hard.
You're leaving this booth with staples in your head or
because,
something.
I'll have my staple going home. The problem is that I'm thinking about it too hard because there's albums that I really love that I'd want to listen to forever because I love them. But then if you've only got one album for the rest of your life, you feel like you should maximise it and like make it a double album or something. It's like Desert Island Discs where they say people can't take the Bible because loads of people said it because it's like a really long book and stuff. So it's like...
So you take your Bible.
Do you pick something that's just got loads and loads and loads of songs on it?
You could be like a box set.
Exactly, yeah. Is that allowed? I don't know. Like, could I take,
you
know, the Elton
James
Music Bank,
like MP3s,
which is just like
there,
a big box.
Good answer. But isn't that all like B-sides and stuff?
I mean, one album for the rest of your life. The one album that I probably listen to the most because I've listened to it an awful lot when I'm falling asleep. I have to fall asleep to music because I've got tinnitus. And there's two albums I fall asleep to. One is Leroy. I don't think you pronounce it like that. It's King in French. Leroy Amour, which is by a band called Enigma, which are kind of a, you know, atmospheric, avant-garde, yeah, world music type band. And then the other album is Blood Flowers by The Cure, which I love, love, love. And Blood Flowers makes me have a really good sleep. So if I could only pick one album, that one would be quite useful because, yeah, I think it's a really great album and it helps me have a good night's sleep. But I don't know. I just really hate that question because Pearl Jam's 10, I think I would really want.
That's a good answer.
Yeah,
I put Holy With by Marilyn Manson, not just because it is probably my favourite album of all time.
Well, Pearl Jam's 10 is basically my favourite album.
But also I picked Hollywood because it's 19 tracks long. So if I was only to listen to one thing forever, I'm getting a lot of stuff out of that.
I know, right?
So that would probably be my pick. I could listen to like 3 tracks a day and just let that get me through forever.
I think I'd have to pick Pearl Jam's 10 because I just really love that record. But I also like falling asleep. to goth music.
Falling asleep is underrated.
To goth music as well.
The rest of these questions are pretty much all for Jimmy Havoc, so we can do this as like a quick fire round, I guess. Jimmy Havoc staple gun on Twitter. That's where you left it.
Yeah,
that's their nickname. I didn't make that up. That's the nickname.
No, there's quite a lot. There's a Mighty Skulls umbrella.
Oh, good, good.
that's a good account. My staple gun. Yeah.
What did you say that barbecue stick thing was called? A barbecue stick.
A skewer. Barbecue stick.
Barbecue stick's fine. I just called it a giant toothpick when I was trying to describe it earlier.
Someone needs to set up an account then that's Jimmy Havoc's skewer.
Oh, no, there's another recipe called Masada. He started using the skewer, so that's his thing.
Okay. Oh, I see.
So, there was a MJF scarf. I think that's an account on
Twitter.
Nice,
good,
well.
Good. Sure, why not? All other Twitter accounts are available. Jimmy Havoc staple gun asked, do you ever listen to Ice Nine Kills, Jimmy?
I saw Horror Metalist. Question. Earlier actually, yeah, so I stuck them out. I've never listened to them before, but yeah, I thought it was quite good. The last album, I think it was like inspired by like horror movies and stuff.
It was, yeah, horror movie concept album.
Silver
it was
real Scream. Cool.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was real good. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Up your street. We've done favourite AFI album. Monsoon W on Twitter asks, what's your favourite Slipknot album and why?
Probably a self-titled one.
Sames.
Yeah. Liberate is such a fucking tune. And obviously like surfacing and shit and
that first run of like 5 or 6 tracks up there with the best runs in the history of metal. It might even be the best run ever. It's fucking insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, like, I've liked all the realms, but I think that's the only one that's like every single track is just fucking banger after banger. What about you?
Oh, I like Volume 3, which I know a lot of people got really upset about because obviously it went a bit softer, really, didn't it?
I liked it.
But I just really enjoy that record.
Yeah. All of them, I think, are good.
Yeah, agreed. Hooray for Slipknot. Gary Connell Jr. 1 on Twitter asks, Jimmy, are you a fan of hip-hop?
I like some hip-hop. Yeah.
Any hot picks?
all the real underground stuff like Eminem and Dr. Dre. I quite like Jay-Z. The Jay-Z Linkin Park gig was real good.
Oh, yeah, that looked awesome.
That would be so cool.
Envious I didn't get to go to that. That would have been cool. Final question then, I think, from @DWFCAW. It's catchy.
That's good.
Jimmy, is there a go-to album that you train with?
What's training? Nah, I'm joking. I like to put on heavy stuff. I've got a playlist of like, normally I have like Slipknot, Hatebreed, that sort of stuff. I find that's a lot easier to...
Big groovy metal bangers.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to work out to that than acoustic emo. So it doesn't really quite get you going.
Is that a genre?
Save that for late at night when you're cooking a candlelight supper.
Yeah, yeah, I do tend to do that a lot. Yeah. Candlelight dinner for myself because I'm so alone.
Treat yourself.
Thanks.
It's more candlelight dinners than I get, mate.
We'll come round. You can make dinner for us.
You'll come round, will you?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a commute.
Pop over to Orlando. Why not?
You're more than welcome. Yeah, always want to come round.
I
quite like a candles when I have a bath.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah,
quite nice. Yeah.
And also, they're less of a fire risk because there's a whole bath of water.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You can just put them out. Yeah.
Yeah. If you manage to, like. Set your
if I set my bath on fire,
really
I'd be quite impressed.
Yeah.
Although,
if anyone could do it,
challenge
Jim.
Accepted. Yes.
If anyone could do it.
I've got a question for Jimmy.
Oh, go on.
Who out of all the world of metal would you wrestle if you had to like pick somebody?
That's a good question.
And why?
Oh,
why?
God.
There has to be a justification.
Oh, God. See... There's one person, and he's not in metal. I've always said he's one of my mate's mates. Right? My mate manages him.
I mean, you've literally just like gone straight
question.
Off the question.
Well, my question is anyone in metal?
I said, who in metal would you wrestle? And you went, well, there's one guy, but he's not in metal.
Yeah. I mean, he's a musician.
Oh, God.
And if I saw him walking down the street, I'd probably cross the road to punch him in the face.
Right.
That's Pete Doherty.
Oh, right.
Yeah. My mate actually manages him. But he just always seems like such a prick.
I don't think Pete Doherty would be much good in a wrestling ring, to be honest.
No, definitely not. That'd
be a good show.
The one person metal I'd wrestle is Chris Jericho.
He's a wrestler. It doesn't count. You've got to pick someone.
Well, I think
it
would be a better match than if it wasn't a wrestler.
You've got to pick someone that would be fun.
Is it someone I dislike? Or
no, it's just...
Just someone to wrestle.
Just someone that would be fun.
I'm not trying to start beef here.
Okay, good. Davey Havok.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can touch him.
I was going to say, so like...
So don't get really close to him.
I was going to say, sure, you won't want to wrestle him because you're just going to, like, mess up his beautiful body.
He's a beautiful man.
He is
man.
A beautiful man, yeah. Yeah, he's
a really beautiful man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's going to get the cheese grated up.
Well, no, I won't do that.
And then afterwards, you can have a nice candlelit dinner.
That, yes. Have I got to cook or can we get Uber Eats?
You can get Uber Eats delivery. Yeah. There are other food providers available.
Okay. There are other podcasts available, but you shouldn't listen to them because this is the best one.
There are other Merlins available.
No, there aren't. Don't say that. That's horrible. Fucking hell. That is it for this week's show. Thank you for coming to join us this week, Jimmy. We appreciate it.
Wonderful.
You're off to do a special evening with Jimmy Havok audience thing tonight, aren't you?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
Excellent. And then it's back off to America for more AEW shenanigans.
So, looking forward to it.
And you can catch AEW Dynamite, I believe, on
ITV4
every week.
Yeah.
And also there's kind of like...
it's on the ITV Hub player as well.
And AEW Dark on YouTube as well.
Cool. Yeah, there's quite a lot of stuff on YouTube.
Wonderful stuff. Yeah. All right. Cheers very much for coming. We'll be back next week where we reveal and go more in depth on our new issue featuring those four exclusive covers. It's a big one. We're starting the year with a bang. We hope your new year has gone splendidly. Roll on 2020. Good thanks and goodbye, everybody.
Thanks Jimmy.
Bye.
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 Bye.